Grammar Girl here. November is National Novel Writing Month, better known as NaNoWriMo. So in honor of all the people who are writing a novel this month, today's podcast is by the international best-selling author and writing teacher, David Farland, about why word choices matter and how you can choose the right words to incite your reader's imagination. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/GG. Also, I'm having a Grammar Girl meetup in New York City next week, so listen to the end of the podcast for details. Every author who's ever stared at a blank page knows the primary difficulty in telling a story, which is that whatever we write immediately begins to constrict us, to constrain us into telling a certain type of story. In short, if I begin by describing a space battle between two fighter ships, I've suddenly narrowed my tale to a science fiction piece. I can't very well turn it into a Victorian romance or a fantasy tale set in a completely imagined world. The opening might even restrict our tone. Starting off with an adventure beat doesn't allow me very easily to slip into a romantic scene. Doing so would require a little setup. Nor does the adventure scene naturally allow me to leap into a flashback where our protagonist felt a terrible loss when his best friend moved away. Once again, we'd need more setup. So the scenes that we begin with define and narrow the kind of story that we can tell. And at a much smaller level, our word choice does the same. Authors need to be precise in their use of language in order to avoid confusing a reader. I like the quotation from Mark Twain, who's credited with saying that the difference between the precise word and one that comes close is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. The lack of precision in word choice can be shown in a number of ways. One, the writer doesn't choose words that properly resonate within their genre. For example, if you're writing a Tolkien-esque fantasy, you wouldn't send your protagonists to eat at a local restaurant, nor would you have them eat a hamburger or have them drink cold beer. Those words all suggest a modern setting, like the Wendy's just down the street from my home. Instead, you try to use words that evoke a fantasy setting. Your characters would go into the local inn, where they might feast upon wild swan while drinking warm ale. 2. Very often a writer uses a word that's close to what he or she means, but not quite right. For example, you might say, "she said," thinking that a dialogue tag is needed. But sometimes a dialogue tag doesn't really convey what you mean. Perhaps you might need to say, "she swore." Very often, writers will get so used to using "said" that they'll use it when the speaker is actually asking a question. "Are you going to eat?" she said. A similar thing might happen when you're talking about a home. Does your character live in a manor, a mansion, a cottage, or a duplex? A wealthy character might well talk about his summer cottage, while a poor neighbor might consider the same building to be an estate since it has its own golf course, horseback riding trails, and a private lake. 3. Sometimes a writer uses a pronoun where a noun would be better. The writer might start off a chapter with, "he ran for his life." Well, if there are three viewpoint characters in your novel, you'd better let us know up front who he is. So you might say, "Braun ran for his life." 4. The author uses a group description instead of a precise description. New writers will often say that the trees bunched together, casting deep shadows over the lonely trail. Well, there are thousands of kinds of trees. Do you mean pines? Then say pines. Or did you mean coconut palms, or willows, or eucalyptus? Each type of tree creates a very different image. If your character is being chased by a pack of dogs, for heaven's sake, tell me what kind of dogs I should be imagining. Are you talking about wolves, dingoes, mastiffs, hounds, tail-wagging chihuahuas? That would be different. 5. The author doesn't take the connotations of words into consideration. A denotation is the precise meaning of a word. If I say that a girl is wearing blue jeans, then you get a pretty good idea of what I'm talking about. But not all blue jeans are equal. If I say she wore Wranglers, you'll get an even more specific image of the type of blue jeans. Sometimes that's just not possible. If I say she's wearing designer blue jeans, then you might imagine something a bit different. Maybe something decorated with sequins, pre-faded and ripped at the knees. In other words, adding the word designer to blue jeans gives us some different connotations. But to really get the image, you might have to spend an entire paragraph describing those jeans. How she bought them at a boutique on Rodeo Drive, spending $2,000 in order to look like pink. 6. Last of all, sometimes authors just bungle altogether, not being aware they've used the wrong word or perhaps simply typed something incorrectly. When I was young, I thought that the word enervated meant the same thing as energized, so I confused a couple of editors before I learned that I was using the word incorrectly. I once wrote a story where I described two pigs rutting in a field. I meant to write the word rooting in a field, as in digging up the field with their snouts, not mating. In a recent novel, I had two people who were supposed to be in a restaurant, but I must have typed the word incorrectly, and then my spell checker automatically fixed my typo by inputting the word restraint. Hence, several test readers for the story had to wonder what kind of restraint my characters were in. Handcuffs? In short, try to be precise when you tell your story. Use your words carefully. We bring a tale to life by using just the right words. When you think about it, it's a wondrous way to make a living, stringing words and prose together in such a way as to create a waking dream in the minds of our readers. It's not like we're providing something concrete to our readers, as if we're selling Fuji apples from our orchards or BMWs from our car lot. We're selling pure imagination. This podcast was written by David Farland, who's written more than 50 books and is the author of the new book, Nightingale. Find out more about Nightingale and his short story contest that has a $1,000 prize at nightingalenovel.com. That's nightingalenovel.com. And thanks to Audible for sponsoring the podcast. This week, the book causing the most buzz is Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, who interviewed Jobs more than 40 times over 2 years and talked to more than 100 people who knew Jobs. Fascinating tidbits have been showing up in the news, and an old friend of mine who's worked in publishing for years says it's one of the best books he's ever read. And now you can get the audiobook of Steve Jobs free when you sign up for a free trial at audiblepodcast.com/GG. It helps support the show, and I believe you'll love it. That's audiblepodcast.com/GG for a free trial and free audiobook to keep. Finally, I'll be in New York City next week, Thursday, November 10th, 2011, and I'm having a Grammar Girl meetup at City Bakery in Union Square. It's really informal. We'll just hang out and talk. I'll be happy to sign any books you bring, take pictures, and answer questions. I'm just going to be in town and want to meet listeners. So that's Thursday, November 10th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at City Bakery in Union Square in New York City. Write it down and remember to come. I'm looking forward to meeting you. That's all. Thanks for listening.